We welcome you to worship at College Park. We're excited to be a part of worship today. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. It is our service of affirmation, and so at the end of the service, we have a special time of prayer for students and parents and educators. With that, we will not have children's time, so no children's time this morning. Just make note of that. But we will have the service of affirmation a little bit later in the service. This Wednesday night is the Wednesday night is our called church conference, and so we want you to make note of that. There is no food, there is no group Bible study, just the conference this week. Then the following Wednesday, the Wednesday night programming for the new year will begin. Today, as we are starting the new school year, it is the restart of our prayer partner ministry, and we invite all adults to go on the hall to the hallway outside of Smith Hall. You'll find a table, our prayer partner ministry table, with envelopes. On those envelopes, you'll find a label that says child, youth, or college student. We invite you to pick one of those age groups and grab an envelope. That will be, open that envelope, find out the name of that student, and that will be your prayer partner for the next year. We invite you to take a look at that. There's contact information on there, as well as ideas on how to be a prayer partner, a mentor to your child, youth, or college student. What we ask is you to take that sheet of paper home, but before you do that, find their name on the list that's there and write your name beside theirs. There's two identical lists. You can put your name on either one of those. We just want to make sure we have record of who is prayer partner with which child. So thank you very much for helping us out with this. This continues to be one of the highlights of our family ministry, and we need all the adults in our church to grab an envelope to make sure all of our, we have over 100 children, youth, and college students that are involved, and all of them need your prayers as well as their parents. And so thank you for being a part of that. Other announcements are listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. We want to find out who was in worship this morning. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could fill those pew pads out, give us your name and contact information, and then check the appropriate boxes. This gives us a little bit of information about you, and we certainly appreciate that. Once you're done filling that out, send it down so everybody on the pew has a chance to fill it out as well. Once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning, once it comes back to that first person, if you could help us out and just tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for giving us that information and helping us collect it as well. I think that's all the announcements. Any other announcements? I think we're good. Guests, we are excited that you are here this morning. You have given us your information on that pew pad, and we would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you. They have something they would like to give to you, so just raise your hand right where you are. They'll come back down the aisles now and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history and ministry here at College Park. So thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. It's good to be together. Over the last hour or so, we had all of our children and our preschoolers and our youth and their families and several people from across our congregation in Smith Hall doing the promotion thing. It's an exciting thing. Do you remember when you got to go from the preschool department to the children's department or the children's department to be a youth, or when you went from elementary school to, okay, Mary has an announcement now. I don't know what that means. I need to cut my announcement short. So we're going to let her give an announcement. Mary, come on.
You ever have one of those moments when you sit down and you go, okay, I've done this and this and this and this. Time to relax. And then you go, I forgot something. Georgie, would you come up here, please?
Yeah.
Well, and one of the other things I did was leave your pen sitting on my folder in the other room, so I'll give it to you in a little while. But if you will notice, Georgie is wearing her years of...
I only wear this once a year.
Once a year. She does not wear it every week. She does not wear it every week. But she is on 47 years of perfect Sunday school attendance. 46, excuse me, 46. I do have it. I have 46 in my office, or on the thing in there. Oh, that is good, since she's only 39 years old. But in a little bit, I will give you your pin, which I left sitting on my music stand over there.
Thank you very much. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
We appreciate faithful attendance. Okay.
Sorry. 46 years, and her memory's better than Mary's. That's pretty good. Gotcha. All right. I'm excited about being in worship. New start, starting over, getting a fresh start. Promotion Sunday, that is a big day for our families. It's a big day for our children, our teenagers. It's also a scary day as they look, as an elementary kid looks middle school square in the face. That is a scary thing. For a middle schooler who's going into high school, that's a scary thing. Sometimes we are facing new days in our own lives, and it can be scary, but God is here to remind us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He is walking through the newness with us. He has forgiven us and given us a new story to tell. That's why we worship, to thank God for that new story he's telling in us. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, it's the everlasting grace that calls us to worship you. Father, you have given and given and given and given again to us unmerited favor. You have blessed us. beyond measure. For nothing that we have done comes close to meriting your favor. But yet, as a good father does, gives amazing gifts to his children. You have given us the gift of life, the gift of purpose, the gift of being reborn. And so, Father, we come to worship because of this grace, to say thank you, to sing praises to your name, to glorify you with our words, our thoughts, our actions, and our worship. Be in this place, we pray. Be glorified now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a joyful Sunday it is, a time of change, a time of challenge, a time of new beginnings and excitement. Even those who are not rising up to a different class can still share in that excitement of those who are and pray for them as they begin their new adventure. I'll be reading today from Joshua 24, as God, through Joshua, reminds what he did for the Israelites, how he guided them, how he spared them, and how he strengthened them. And then a challenge is laid forth. If you want to follow along, 168 in the Pew Bible, I will be reading from New American Standard on this day instead of the NIV, but you could still follow along. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron and plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them, and he covered them. And your very own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. And you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. It's a lot of ites. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you. But not by your sword or your bow. I gave you land on which you had not worked, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. And then in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods from your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the God to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord. For he is our God. A strong statement of faith. We see it again and again. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we come to this place on this day. You have prepared our hearts to come here in this place of worship and to say to you, with all of our hearts, we will serve the Lord our God. Just as you blessed the Israelites, you have brought each of us through many rocky places. You've carried us to this place today through our lives. Many people that are here today have had many close calls with death. Many have overcome tremendous circumstances to be here. And there are those who you have protected, and we were not even aware. You've gone before us, above us, and behind us, and protected us so that we could worship you this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here together and to call out us as church family and as individuals and tell you we will serve you. We know it's a choice that is our choice alone to make. You know our hearts. You know where we stand with you. You know our relationship with you through Christ and where we are with that. Speak into our individual lives. call us forth to serve you as individuals, for you can do great and mighty things through every person who gives their life over to you. Oh, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. It's such a privilege. There's no greater joy than to serve you. We thank you for new beginnings. The greatest new beginning is the new birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for that new beginning which takes us from death to life and gives us purpose and meaning and binds us together with other Christians. Thank you for new beginnings in school. Thank you for new beginnings in work. Thank you for new beginnings in relationships. Thank you for new beginnings every day when we get out of bed. Thank you, Lord, for new beginnings when your sun rises. Oh, Father, we thank you also for the new beginning that is ours in Christ when we leave this earth. And it's that new beginning in our forever home with you, that home of light and love and grace and peace. So we thank you for new beginnings, how you go before and guide us through each and every one. And we especially pray for the teachers, for the students in our school system, that you'd bless them this year. And we pray for our Sunday school teachers, the new classes that are forming. And we pray, Father, for all the church leaders in this church. Guide us all and use us as we stand together and say, we will serve the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful to be in this place this morning. Lord, we are thankful that you take us as individuals, faulted as we are. Lord, with all of our sins and our failures, Lord, that you are here and you love each and every one of us. Lord, we are thankful for the gifts that you give us day after day. Lord, gifts of health. Lord, the ability to work and to pay our bills and do all of those things. Lord, you sustain us day by day. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for your love, which doesn't just place us here and leave us. But Lord, you walk with us day after day. Lord, we are thankful for your presence in our lives. And Lord, as we think of all that we are thankful for, Lord, we offer back to you just a little bit of what you've given us. And Lord, we ask that you would take it, you would use it for your glory. Lord, bless the gifts. Bless us as your people. And may it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? We had our little choir down here with the children. Yes. Murmur, murmur, grumble, grumble. Yes. And then we got a lesson from Jared that basically that meant whining. That meant whining. Remember that? Well, do you remember what they were whining about? Do you remember what they were whining about? It was in John chapter 6. And it's a long chapter. We're still in John chapter 6 today. But Jesus had just told them that he was the bread that had come down from heaven. Okay? And then they started grumbling among themselves. You know, they couldn't quite get a handle on what he was talking about. And it's still going on into verse 50, 52, 53. And again in 52, it says the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're not getting it, okay? And there's a whole other sermon that could go in these verses in between before today's text, and we'll do that. Next time we have communion, we'll come back and pick up these verses, and we'll kind of explain all that. But bottom line is, they're just not getting it. It's a hard lesson. They're not getting it. They're grumbling. They're whining, as Jared would tell us. And they're doing all of this basically taking out their frustrations. All right, and that kind of sets up where we are today. In verse 56, Jesus is continuing to speak, and he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven." He's kind of explaining it here. "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." And he said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Okay, so you get the context. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, so it wasn't just the Pharisees, it wasn't that they grumbled. Disciples starting to grumble too. Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." He's making reference back to those verses where the grumbling starts. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer believed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Quite a testimony. Peter came through this time, didn't he? He had the words. He got it. There's a book that I've referenced a couple times here from the pulpit. And the subtitle of the book is called The Nun Zone. That's N-O-N-E, not N-U-N, okay? The Nun Zone. And it's the subtitle of a book that explores religious life in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. And a line on the back of the book, a description of the book, basically gives us a clue as to why it's subtitled The Nun Zone. Here's what the line says. It says, "When asked their religious identification, more people answer none in the Pacific Northwest than any other region of the United States." And as you read the book, one of the points that the authors make from the data that was collected is that choice, the concept of choice, looms larger for those who check something other than none. If they checked A, B, C, D, or E instead of F, which would be none, if they checked any of those things, choice was a big thing for them. Okay, church affiliation, understand, is not a given, not an expectation of tradition. The concept is you have to choose to be part of a church. Now, notice I said be part of, not just attend, but be a part of. You have to choose to be a part of a church. And this is really not a new concept. nor is it anything that is unique to the Northwest United States of America. It goes all the way back, and as Krista read from Joshua chapter 24, it occurs to me that the tribes of Israel stand ready. They're getting ready to possess the land that had been promised to them and that had been conquered. God made it clear he had conquered the way before them. And you'd think that that would be a kind of a time that they just kind of, oh, look what we've done. Isn't this nice? Look what God has done. Isn't that nice? And Joshua says no. Now, this is a time to choose. We've been through this 40-year sojourn in the wilderness. We've been through all of these battles. It's a time to choose. And he's very specific. He said, are you going to choose the gods of the Amorites? Or are you going to choose the gods where Father Abraham and Mother Sarah first set out from? Are you going to choose those gods? Or are you going to choose the gods back in Egypt who nearly sucked the life out of you? Are you going to choose those gods, or are you going to choose the God? The God, the Lord God, who brought you into this land. He's putting it before them because he understood that none zones are few and far between. You see, the problem for those who would be religious is not the death of gods, it's the multiplicity of gods with a little g. The multiplicity of them, not their absence from contemporary life, but the issue of their relevance to it. And I believe today, outside of the realm of church as we know it, I believe that more than a few opt for none because of this last issue, the issue of relevance of God. That the people outside of church and faith communities are saying, what does God have to do with me? Does he even care about me? What does church, what does faith, communities of faith, what do they have to do with me? Do they even care about me? And sometimes we answer that question for them, not in a positive way, by our behavior. Let me give you an example. They show up at church, and they're coming in to look for spiritual guidance or to encounter God, some sort of holy encounter. That's what they come into, and they walk in, and we're squabbling over who's invited to what. You know, others come in seeking new ways of partnering for serving God by serving people. And we're so lazy, we can't get out of our pew, or we're so stingy, we won't release our money to be a part of reaching out into this community. And what are they learning from that? Some people come in searching for a place to belong, and all they hear is endless debates on who doesn't belong. Shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on those who constantly stir the pot of discontent just for their own insecurities and dissatisfactions. I know we're all sinners saved by grace, but people, there has to be responsibility. As the body of Christ, we need to be pointing people to a God who loves them, cares about them. We need to be ministering to one another, encouraging one another. That's what will take the boxes off of none, the checks off of the boxes of none, and put them somewhere else. None can be an understandable choice given the state of many churches today. Until it's time for a child to be married, or until it's time for an elder to be buried, because weddings typically aren't performed by none. Again, N-O-N-E, okay? You know, funerals are not conducted, or officiants are not none. You know, for times of crisis, a lot of people come back to church looking for help. And see, crisis is one of those things that Peter could relate very well to, because Peter is feeling the crisis here. He understands what's going on. As Jesus has these hard teachings, he begins to get the pulse of the crowd. And you got a full-blown crisis. As it's recorded in the Gospel of John here, his response to kind of this whole crisis is, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go?" Indeed, look around you this morning. Look around you. Look at not just the particular furniture and the windows, which kind of make this place unique as compared to your living room. I assume your living room's not set up like this, or the lodge where you go, or the restaurant where you go. I mean, this is a place that's actually pretty unique. And this place is filled with memories of those who have come all through the generations who have come into this place, some of you since you were children, came into this place looking to encounter God. not just through what is sung and what is heard, but through the relationships that have been formed through the years. This is a place where people come to find sanctuary. Perhaps at some point, that person was you. Perhaps it was even while your check mark was still in the none box. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." His response came out of conflict. The troops were deserting. Jesus was saying some difficult things. And in John's reporting of it, it says in verse 66, it says, "Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Him being, of course, Jesus. It's the little things sometimes during the course of my week that amuse me. I was looking through this and I was reading, I was looking at that particular passage. "Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." If you're not following Jesus, you're following somebody else. Something else. And then I looked at the verse number. I thought, wow, that's John 6:66. Wow. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go is not a question with only one possible answer then or now. Do you understand that? To whom shall we go is not a question to which the church has a monopoly on the responses. Because we live in a culture that's filled with choices of things to do, people to follow, movements to follow, gurus to heed. To whom shall we follow? To whom shall we go? Other translations of this verse read, "To whom can we go?" I think the NIV is actually closer to the real question, because perhaps the more important question is, whom will we go? To whom will we go? Who will we follow? Because following and discipleship are acts of the will. Jesus asked the 12, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Some translations read, "You do not wish to leave me too." Either one of those, want or wish, it is actually kind of a weak translation of a verb which means to will. To act upon your will, because the world is full of options for religious meaning and affiliations, among which we have to choose by our will who we're going to follow. Religion in the none zone simply means that a lot of us who live in places where those choices may have less presumptions about, you know, everybody who somebody goes to this Baptist church. It's not like that anymore. To whom will we go? Peter says, "To you, Lord, because you have the words of eternal life." He chooses Jesus. But let's remember that the choices we make concerning faith and following Jesus sometimes change with circumstances. Let me give you an example. Peter chooses to say, "You have the words of eternal life." Now, that's what he's saying now. In chapter 13, he said, "Lord, I lay down my life for you." But then by the fire, when they came up and asked him about his affiliation with Jesus, what'd he say? "I don't even know the guy. I don't know him." Three times he chose not to follow. In the courtyard, Peter discovered that "to whom shall we go" has other options. Easier ones, safer ones. But are those the reasons that we follow? Following Jesus is a choice of the will, and we make it again and again and again. The good news and the grace of it all is that even when our choices and our will betrays us, God's grace does not. Can I get an amen? God's grace does not. Grace does not excuse our failings. Grace simply profoundly receives with open arms those who answer, "To whom shall we go?" with the choice and the will to follow Jesus. Not because it's the traditional thing to do, because that may or may not be true. Not because it's the acceptable thing to do, because that may or may not be true. Not even because in doing so, we will be part of a growing and vibrant community, because that may not always be true. But because we find in Jesus the words of life, and in those words, the grace for living, that's why we choose to follow him. To whom shall you go? To whom will you go? Here at College Park, we are committed to teaching our children, our young people, why they should choose to follow Christ. All of the reasons. And I know that you are committed to that, even in your own life, constantly reading, studying, learning. Reasons why we follow Christ. Today is kind of a monumental day. Going back to school. You're pretty stoked about it, aren't you? Yeah, you can tell the excitement's just bubbling over from the front row down here. But it's a time to pause and to affirm our students, our parents, our educators, all of those who are part of our student ministry. And as we at church and as we as families seek to teach our children why they should follow Christ, it's good to stop and to affirm what's taking place here in this body of believers. Jeff, if you would come lead us in that time, please.
I invite you to take your bulletin. There is a covenant that we will read together in just a few moments. We will spend some time praying for the various groups of people that are involved in the education of our children. In just a minute, I'm going to ask those parents, grandparents, teachers, counselors, administrators, Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night leaders, private school, college students, college professors, anybody who is an adult that is involved in the education of children, from parents on up, would you please stand right where you are? Parents, grandparents, teachers, professors, counselors, Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night leaders, nursery workers, we want to say thank you for the time that you put in to our young people. Whether it's here at church, or whether it's at a school somewhere, whether it's at home, we are blessed by you. God is using you. Whether some days we realize it or not, or some days we don't understand it or not. As adults who invest in the lives of students, we say thank you. We want to spend a time of prayer together. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, it is a blessing to have these people in our lives. These parents, these grandparents, these teachers, these administrators, these counselors, these professors, these people who first love you and felt the call to take care of young people, from parents who live with them daily, to teachers and Sunday school leaders and professors who try to take knowledge and give it to these students. We thank you for their willingness, their dedication, their commitment to you. And so, Father, as this new year begins, we need a new energy, a renewed strength. Remind these parents, these educators, these church leaders, these public school leaders, remind them that they are your hands and your feet. Give them the strength to model your love and your mercy and your grace to their children, to their students. We thank you for the honor that it is to serve you in this capacity. May we bring honor to you by how we do what you've called us to do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. And now, if you're elementary school, middle school, high school, college students, any level of graduate school, if you are a student, would you just stand right where you are? Got them up in the balcony. Y'all got to stand up. I know y'all were students. Stand up. All right. Students at any level, you have a church here who cares for you, who loves you, and wants to help you in these difficult, challenging days. People that are around you, people that are praying for you, know that you have a family that loves you. But most importantly, you have a God who has given you the gift of this time. We want to spend a few moments in prayer for you. Let's pray together. Father, as these students stood, with many who have stood throughout this morning, sometimes it's hard to believe that it's a new year. No longer am I in middle school, now I'm in high school. Not in high school anymore, now I'm in college. I've graduated college and I've moved on to grad school. It's a new day. And Father, even though it's a new day, we know the pressures are going to come from homework and studying and all those other things that happen. The pressures to conform to the world. Father, help us as students to be available to you wherever we're in school, to shine your light, even when we struggle with a teacher, to respect them as people of authority, as our parents, to be thankful to you for them. Father, for these students, I ask your strength to be on them, that your blessing would go before them, that they would know in the days to come that as they're doing those late night readings, or catching up on that homework, to not to forget you. For without you, we have nothing. For without you, we are nothing. We give you the praise for these students. We thank you that we have the blessing to be near them, to be a part of their lives. May this church continue in its support of these students. Help us to be the kind of church, the kind of body that gives students exactly what they need, your love and your mercy and your grace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is a church act. This is a church service of affirmation. This is not for just these particular groups of people. This is for all of us because we are in this together. There is a covenant there that you will find printed in your bulletin. There is a place for parents, for grandparents to say yes. There is a place for educators, Sunday school teachers, professors, administrators. There's a place for you to say yes. And then for students, children, youth, and adult learners, there is a place for you to say yes. And then at the end, the entire congregation says yes. This is our covenant for our service of affirmation. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed as God's own and brought into a new community. Today we gather to celebrate the nurturing and teaching aspects of our faith community. Parents, God has given you the privilege of primary care for your children. One of your tasks is to maintain a personal relationship with Christ, so that your child may see the eternal value of knowing and serving God. Your role is to exhibit this faith relationship within the setting of a Christian community. As your child continues the journey of faith, do you promise to partner with educators and other church leaders through active support and involvement in specific ministry opportunities while also modeling a Christian lifestyle at home?
Yes. Yeah.
Educators, you have accepted the privilege of nurturing children, youth, and adults in our community to increase their understanding of God's creation, boundless love, acceptance, and forgiveness through your gift of teaching. Do you commit to the task of helping your students grow in knowledge and confidence of their place in God's creation?
Yes.
Students, you are a valuable part of God's creation and our faith community. This body has committed to helping you learn what it means to know Christ and to serve Him. Your attitude and willingness to grow are keys to your faith development. Do you promise to come ready to learn, grow in your faith, serve God daily, and encourage others to do the same?
Yes.
At each parent-child dedication, we have joined together in surrounding children and their parents in a covenant for faith development. Church, do you promise to continue your support and involvement, modeling a Christian lifestyle of prayer, encouragement, service, and faith?
Yes.
Amen.
As we affirm our students, as we affirm those who are helping mold their lives, we also want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if what we've talked about this morning seems a little strange or foreign to you and you can't connect, we'd love to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'm going to be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you then, or certainly if you'd like to call me during the course of the week, I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. As you're standing, if you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but like Peter, sometimes I choose not to follow Christ. Even though I am a believer, I make choices that are wrong. If you want to spend this time of commitment, singing, opening your heart to God and expressing that to Him, asking for forgiveness and kind of getting back on track, that's a wonderful use of the time that we'll have as we sing together. I'll be here again at the front. If you'd like to talk about it, I'd be glad to talk and pray with you. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, as we've said in the sermon, we're not perfect. We're still working it out. We have our faults, but by and large, this is a loving, encouraging, caring body of believers. And if you'd like to be a part of this fellowship in an official capacity, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about it. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. please remain standing with me for our benediction. And following the benediction in response, please be sure to look around you, greet one another, extend a special greeting to our guest as we go out. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the words that you gave us, words that teach us, correct us, encourage us as we seek to follow your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.